and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now here he goes, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Albert.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth Man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, guys, it is Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
So, luckily, welcome all our single audience members.
Yep, this is a mixer, so yes. Let's mix it up. Someone's falling in love here tonight.
Goodness. For you guys, what does Valentine's Day for you mean for you from a comic book perspective?
Loneliness.
Okay, thank you, Boothman. From a comic book perspective?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's hard. When they always do the like hard love issues, characters love, and everyone's like, this is bullshit. Let's get back into the fight.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, there's characters we love, right? And we see them a certain way.
Sexually.
Yes, we see them a certain way. You know, it's interesting. That was actually an interesting segue because, Pete, before the show, we were kind of talking, we were sort of like spitballing, hey, saying, who would be our dream guests for Comic Book Club? Who would we love to have on the show?
Right.
And I think, did you say?
I said Hugh Jackman.
You said Hugh Jackman, and I said, oh, yes, Hugh Jackman, that's
great
perfect.
Great guest.
Great idea for a guest. And Pete said?
I said, nope, I don't want to have Hugh Jackman on the show because he wasn't a great Wolverine.
What? Why? What are you talking about? He's perfect. The hair, the attitude. Those claws aren't CGI.
Yeah,
he has those in his body. He had adamantium bonded to his bone.
The audition process was they cut off his hands three times and they kept growing back.
Kept like, growing back, Pete. And then he sang a song because he's a Broadway star as well.
So what is your problem with Hugh Jackman?
He's too tall and too well-spoken.
Too well-spoken. Wow. So you're saying Wolverine should be more like you, short and sort of like mumble mouth.
Short and gruff.
Gruff.
And that's just amazing to me because you are the biggest Wolverine fan I know.
Yep.
Everybody thinks Hugh Jackman is a great Wolverine.
Almost
everybody, except for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the casting of Thomas Jane as Punisher was perfect.
I don't know about that.
Oh, shit,
It was close.
Hold on, I'm just going to... You're going to say, I don't know about that, but I'm going to rewind to every single show we've done in Comic Book Club for 5 years and replay the section where
this
you say
is
Thomas
brutal.
Jane was
this
perfect.
This opening is brutal.
Pete used to read Thomas Jane's blog posts live on the show. Well, when they gave away the Punisher job to another actor, he was like, please don't do that. I'm Thomas Jane. I haven't been starring in Hung yet.
They found him at his house, and he was holding onto the shirt, and they had to physically drag him down the street, ripping it out of his hands.
And he was like,
please.
You wait, I'll take my revenge on you, because I'm Thomas Jane.
And then when he got hung, he called him up, and he's like, take that. They're like, that actually doesn't do anything to us.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything. Pete, let's make this a little more positive for you.
Yeah, I feel like we're really beating up.
We're being beat up. You had a good experience today, right?
Sure did, yeah.
Yeah, we had a meeting
in
30 Rock.
Yep.
And who are you now good friends with?
Me and Lauren Michaels.
Oh, really? Yeah. What'd you guys do? What'd you guys talk about?
He was walking down the hall at the same time.
Oh,
I
and he
was.
Recognized you and you shook hands.
No.
Oh,
no,
oh,
no,
oh.
I'm cooler than that.
Oh, he was like, hey, sir, you seem funny. Would you like to audition for Saturday Night Live?
No, I nodded at him. And he slightly nodded back at me.
Slight nod. Wow.
He smiled. I was there.
So I can admit, it was crazy. And Pete was standing there, and he turned to me. He's like, oh, my God. And then I was like, oh, my God. And then Lorne Michaels turned back, and he's like, by the way, Hugh Jackman is a great Wolverine. Guys, we have a great show for you. I'm very excited about the guest we have on tonight. He's an amazing comedian and also an accomplished Broadway star.
Accomplished.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dewey Cadell. Yeah.
Dewey Cadell.
Come on. Dewey. Dewey. Dewey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you for coming on the show, Dewey.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Yes, I'm very excited to have you on the show. Just to clarify the Broadway star part. So, you've been on Broadway in Brigadoon and Camelot?
Yes.
And Camelot, you were in it with Jeremy Irons, right?
Yes.
Did he pull any shenanigans?
Yes.
Backstage shenanigans.
Don't elaborate. I just wanted to know.
Yeah. We have lots of shenanigans.
We have a checklist. Iron's real shenaniganer. Shenaniganist.
Yeah. We're going to. Can you add him to the shenanigans column in our Google Doc?
Yeah.
Cool. What was he like, actually?
He was very British. He seemed.
Weird.
Right?
Weird.
Royal-ish.
Yeah. Not all British people are kings and queens.
I don't believe that.
He's British and he's rich, so I think the two things combine to make him royal-like.
Yeah, right. And the robe.
Yeah, no, he's a nice guy. Nothing happened.
Cool, great story. So you also haven't read any comic books, basically.
That's completely untrue.
Completely
okay,
untrue.
Good.
Okay,
I have read, in fact, two comic books of my life. I don't want to reveal anything too soon, but
sure.
they're going to be
discussed.
Don't give
us any spoilers. What year was this?
They're going to be discussed this evening.
Oh, tonight.
Yeah, I was handed them moments before the show and read both of them, so I am now an accomplished reader of comic books.
But you're actually a pretty
accomplished fan.
You're a pretty accomplished collector of comic books, right?
I have two comic books which I never actually opened. They're still in their plastic sheathing.
Smart. Yes, it's called the sheathing.
I assume.
Yeah, no, you were right about that.
Shielding.
I got them from Pizza Hut as...
Yeah, pizza. I like pizza.
Yeah, they came, I believe it was from a Book It pizza thing. I had read a book, or at least pretended that I had read a book. And
I wish they tested more in Book It.
They don't test at all. All you had to do was walk up and say, I read a book, and then they put your little star up, and then when you get like so many stars, you get
a personal
free pizza.
Pan pizza.
Right.
Which is a kid's dream. It was
dream. I got so many personal pan pizzas.
Yeah, I read
books. It was
books,
crazy.
I got at least two.
No, I read books, too. Wait, was your implication I didn't read books?
No, you just showed up and you were like, look at all these stars I have. I want a pizza.
That's a really good
Yeah, no, that was great. That sounds a lot like
you were a sleepy child.
Where's my pizza?
Anyway, so you got these two comics from Pizza Hut kept in the bag. Do you still have them somewhere?
I do. And in fact, I know that I do because I just moved and went through some old things. I have those two comic books.
Why?
They are in.
Why are you holding on to them?
They are in.
They're worth something.
They're in a copy of Newsweek from the issue where Princess Di died.
So they're your two most prized possessions.
Wow.
That, Newsweek, and these two comic books.
I don't know. I think someone told me to keep that issue, and then somehow those two comic books ended up in that issue.
I don't want to ruin anything. I think the issue of Newsweek is probably more valuable.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm pretty upset about it.
And they haven't followed up. They haven't followed up on that Princess Di story.
Yeah, what is going on with that?
I don't know. No one wants to. When's she
going to
come back? They're talking about bringing her back. Bringing her back.
Actually, okay. I mean, they were going to bring her back in comics, right?
Huh?
Yeah,
and there was a big fight, right?
Yeah, there was actually a comic book. This ties in very nicely. Thank you for tying this together.
You're
for
welcome.
Us so
that's
well.
My
He's been waiting 5 years to tell his Princess Di story.
Yeah, no, that's great. But there was a comic called Ecstatics from Marvel Comics that was all about skewering celebrity culture, and they were going to do a thing where Princess Di came back from the dead and became a superhero. And it was supposed to, talk a little bit about reality.
Like as a zombie, though? Would she be as... Because Princess Di was like a beauty, right? But then she was mangled horribly in that accident.
But she would be beautiful again. Whatever it was, people were a little upset about it.
Yeah.
The comic,
your
I
look
know.
On your face, Julie, was
you want, unrealistic. You want, I don't know that I could buy into that.
You want her to be a monster.
I would like her to be a monster. Princess Di.
Does she keep you up nights?
Yeah. I wish. She was a real beauty. I would love for her to keep me up nights.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
Real fetishizing of
princess. No, I'm just saying that she was such a good person. Especially after the divorce, and she really pushed being a good person with the landmine bullshit. That
was her program. Was
real bullshit.
Back, donate to landmine.
For her
bullshit.
To come back, she would have to be just this terrible, horrible monster.
Yeah,
because she really accomplished enough in her life. Is what I'm getting at.
Right.
Yeah, that's
this
great.
Is
well,
weird.
I think can we all take a minute or 5 minutes and just be silent in memory of Princess Di? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Just be real quiet.
Everyone.
All right, I think that was about 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that was about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to go on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah,
we do.
If it's your first time listening to the show or being at the show, though I know it's almost definitely not, we each made a pick, some comic book we particularly like this week. We're going to go to bat for it, explain what we liked about it very specifically, starting with the plot, Pete. Punisher backs, number 22.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm interested to see where this character is going to go.
This was one of the greatest Punisher runs of maybe all time.
What happens in this comic?
This is an homage to Punisher's life and all the things that he's accomplished and all the lives that he's touched.
You mean ended, all the lives that he's ended.
Well, all the good that he's done.
And by touch, you mean with knives.
Yeah.
Sure, or bullets.
Cool. Yeah.
Or knife bullets.
Oh, man, I wish they went there.
Yeah.
Wait, he's done good in his life?
Sure.
Because well, all they talked about was what a dick this guy was.
Yes.
That's not true.
Thank you.
No, that's not true.
The whole thing was this guy being like, he was my friend back in the day, but all he did was kill people and murder people for no reason. What a dick.
Well, that's his perspective. That's not real. That's why at the end, you see all these people with doing good stuff.
They're
in
also
his honor.
Murdering
His perspective isn't the real one. Pete's perspective is the real one.
Yeah.
Did you read this with the character in the book's perspective or Pete's perspective?
Yeah,
I did read it with Pete's perspective, but because I dislike Pete so much, I was able to read it through sort of a hate-filled glasses.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. So Justin, what did you think about this book?
So in this comic, this is the
oh,
last,
explain the plot
the last issue of Punisher Max. The Punisher, Mr. Frank Castle, died.
Mr.
Frank Castle.
He's earned that title.
He died at the end of last issue, and this is Nick Fury going around and being like, man, this guy was a real dick.
It's an homage to him.
Yeah, and Nick Fury kills a couple people, and then a bunch of other people die.
In his honor.
The beauty of this is Nick Fury's like, yeah, this poor bastard killed a bunch of criminals and died, and no one will ever know about him. And then he's watching the news, and the newsreader's like, people in Queens seem to be murdering their landlord because they're sick of the slums.
Yeah, let's do it.
And it happens like six other times, and Nick Fury's like, huh, I guess he did a good job.
Yeah.
So I think that's crazy, sort of.
No, I thought this was a great, like,
here's the thing,
very powerful, a very powerful beginning, very panel by panel, blow for blow, just fantastically done comic. A lot of drama.
Would you say it was a good homage?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Who's on your kill list?
Like you?
Yep, I know.
And
I've
Dewey.
Seen it. And Dewey now, too.
Oh, what about me?
Depends on the day. After the opening, yes.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
so Pete. When will you begin your punishment?
I don't know. There'll be one thing that just kind of pushes me over.
Well, let's hope we find it tonight.
I think we might get there tonight. I think we're close.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me. You're really into books that say, hey, why don't we, you know what? Why don't we just kill everybody? You like Scarlet by Brian Bendis and Alex Maleev, which is kind of the same thing, where it's enough of this order thing. Let's just start killing people.
Right.
We know what's right.
Yep.
Do you know who also thinks that? Crazy people.
Crazy people, yeah. Sociopaths. Yep.
Can I ask?
I think deep down we all think that. In the comic book,
Dewey has a question.
Yeah.
Do all of this guy's comics end in the same way Two and a Half Men does? With this long speech about... like his own feelings on what the comic book was about.
Two and a Half Men. I don't know if you've watched it.
Don't
lately.
You fucking dare compare this comic to Two and a Half Men.
Have you watched Two and a Half Men?
Fucking
Pete,
asshole.
Have you watched Two and a Half Men? The kid's name is the kid's
my
name.
Favorite television show. Two and a Half Men ends with this long diatribe by the douchebag that created it, and this does as well.
Yeah. Well, the kid's name in Two and a Half Men is Frank Castle.
Yeah.
It's Francis Castle.
No,
it's the same.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
And
that's
similar...
why he's raised by those people, because his family was killed.
That's ridiculous.
Read. That's ridiculous. You should go watch the show.
The kid in Two and a Half Men, he's a Vietnam vet.
It's true. It's the same world, Pete.
He is like 35 now. He's an old kid.
He is.
He's not really. One old kid.
Well, he's a man. He's a half man. He's not a kid.
He is a half man. I mean, it's Two and a Half Men. Do they
say that now?
Three men.
Do they say you are a half man now?
Am I a half man?
No.
You're a half man.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really kind of you to say. I've been working out, and so
most people say you're
say
a quarter
that.
Man. You're like, thanks for the extra quarter.
I really like this book.
Thank you.
This has been great. Jason Aaron has been doing a wonderful job writing The Punisher, definitely following up on Garth Ennis's run in a very nice way. Steve Dillon, clearly the definitive Punisher artist at this point. I will say. great issue, really like this issue. I said this to backstage Pete. He got real mad at me, but I'll say it here anyway, and then he's going to get mad at me. I loved last issue. That, to me, great that issue. Was the capper. That was the emotional crest of the entire arc. Here, we're basically getting a coda, where we're getting Nick
Fuck
Fury
you
saying,
with saying a coda.
Codas are fine.
Fuck you for saying it's an homage.
Fuck you for...
It's not an homage.
All
right, it is a coda.
First of all, the last issue...
You could say epilogue.
Sure, that makes sense.
It was it was last chapter.
Yeah, it was Dakota Fanning, you fucker. All right, so listen.
The
last issue was amazing, but I felt like this was really kind of a great way of wrapping up an amazing run that Jason Aaron did with Steve Dillon.
Yeah, it was nice where everything like really wrapped up in the last issue, but then this issue sort of provided a little capper.
It just ended. It was like, boom, he's dead. This we're dealing with. The fact that he's gone.
So last issue, would you say that was the end? And then this is kind of dealing with the repercussions in a way of it.
I wish that we went to his grave and there he is dead at the end. And then his wife and two kids showed up at the grave and they were like, now it's time to get shit started.
And then he was like, yeah, let's do it.
And he comes out from the ground. And then they finish their picnic because that's what it's all about. Because they started having that picnic. They never got to the chocolate mousse pie, which is the whole fun of the picnic. That's why he's so angry. He kills criminals. He's like, where's my fucking pie?
Do you know what I actually think? I don't know if this story has ever been done, but I would really like to see the Punisher fight some ants.
Yeah.
It would be amazing, though, if he did get back together with his family and they went on a killing spree.
The family did together?
Yeah, together. As a family.
Just for ants? Just kill ants? I think the gangsters are like a metaphor for ants. You know what I'm talking about? Like, because ants ruin picnics all the time by killing the fun.
I hate you guys.
Thanks for coming on the show, Pete. All right, we're going to move on with Justin's pick.
You can head out if we're all done. The Punisher run ended. We're sort of your run.
Yeah, you're done. Thanks so much, Pete.
You having fun?
Thanks so much.
That's some fun.
And thanks for being here for the homage to Pete. We're going to have to head out.
Yeah, if you could leave, we're about to start
show.
The coda.
I get one more show where we get to wrap up.
No, you're done. We're going to do one more show where we talk about you.
The seat's empty and we talk about you. And it's
that seems fair.
We'll do sort of an epilogue.
Yeah, exactly.
Of when Pete was here.
Yeah. And then you won't be here, but then everybody in the audience will be like, well, I guess I don't know what Pete did. And then everybody in the audience will look out. We'll all be like short guys who are mumbling.
We'll do a whole homage about how he's a dick, but it will really be about how awesome he was.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and I hate to tell you this now, but Hugh Jackman's going to be playing the role. He's a little tall for it, but I think he's gonna do. I think he's gonna do a pretty good job.
We're gonna move on with Justin's pick: New Mutants, number 37 from Marvel Comics by Abnett, Lanning, D. Lopez, A. Lopez, and Staples.
Yeah, Staples. Way to step up.
By the way, I'm pretty sure.
Where's the easy button?
I think it's Fiona Staples, Val Staples, the colorist. Yeah. I wish that Staples would finally get a credit on the front of comic books because they're really the things that are holding it together.
Oh, you're talking about the physical.
Wow. Physical Staples, yeah.
That was
I'm sorry, Val Staples,
who's
not
listening to
this. Held
together by Staples.
Yes. What did you think about this book? Why did you like this?
The Staples run ended and then went back to chewing gum. I hate that. This comic, New Mutants, great comic if you're not reading it, but like I feel like the X universe has sort of been in flux a lot lately, and right now, the titles are very sort of finding their voice. This one's been going for a while, and it's the former New Mutants together living in a house, so it's like the real world, but for mutants in a lot of ways. If you like,
find out what happens when you stop being mutated and you start being new. You continue being mutated, and then you're new.
The art's really, really cool, really unique art take. And these mutants, they're living together. And in this issue, a couple issues ago, Magma had agreed to go on a date with the devil. And so this
Magma.
Issue, you get to see the date with the devil. It's a fun issue. Sunspot's in love with her, so he's at home fretting. And then the other ones are like, it's going to be fine. And then there's a great date that Magma goes on. It's very, I think it's well done. It's a slightly cliched storyline, I'll give you that. But it's just really fun. The dialogue is very good. Abnett and Lanning are great at writing dialogue.
Pete, what do you think about this book?
Abnett and Lanning are amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the problem is, anytime you get the old, we're going to do something with the devil, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit. But
because you fought the devil already.
Yeah, and I won. But I feel like
in that fiddle battle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Pete is now the devil, you guys. Just to let you know.
Well, that's gonna bite me in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome if you had to go to hell because you were such a dick to me for all.
But then
these
we
years.
Would hang out because you're
that's
you're the devil.
Hell,
no,
Pete.
I would.
The devil.
I mean, just ask him down to your house, basically.
Yeah, I'll
come
like, over.
Let's hang out
want.
From now on.
I'll bring a picnic.
It's basically like you're marrying him.
Oh, we're actually married.
You are. They are actually.
We were Jedi married recently on the show.
For real.
Oh, we had a Jedi
so
priest.
God, it was fake.
It was not fake.
No, it was 100% real. 100 legally binding.
We're thinking of taking on a Padawan. We don't know.
Did you guys get that house on Coruscant?
Huh? We were looking at Coruscant.
We're thinking about renting.
I want to be near the Mos Eisley Cantina.
I think we're going to end up
on Tatooine.
That
no
place is
what's
a
happening.
Hive of scum and villainy. I'm sorry.
Don't you talk about them, all right? You don't understand our lives, all
okay.
right?
Anyways, this comic I really wanted to hate, especially because Justin liked it. But the dialogue didn't win me over.
Oh,
but
no.
It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, part of me is angry at her for going out on a date with the devil.
They made a deal.
Well, this was the second comic book you've ever read. What did you think
well,
about
to
it,
be
Julie?
Fair, it was the first comic book I read. I read them out of order. That's on me. I apologize for that. The
you learn to read them in the right order the more comic books you read.
Okay, so what I took away from this one to start was that there was far more writing than I had anticipated. Like, I had to read a lot of words.
Mean more words, yeah.
Yeah, so I was thrown.
Okay.
But the fact that I thought there would be a lot more fighting. And, like, what is it? Is that onomatopoeia when they use words that that are, like, action words or whatever?
Right.
I thought there would be more of those, and there were none of those.
No, there's one please, right there, ding-dong.
Yeah, please.
The doorbell.
Don't oh, there's one.
Don't take this the wrong way, but this is kind of like having a caveman on the show.
interesting characters. Why no meat?
Okay, I guess it's not exactly like having a caveman on the show.
Where am I? Where? Take me back to my own time.
I actually, this story is kind of fun, I think.
Nice.
But there's obviously a story that happened right before this that I think I should have known.
Yeah,
because
this is not the first issue.
Right, they were apparently in hell or near hell or near where the devil was trying to let them into hell.
Yep.
But somehow they got out, but they weren't totally out because she was just like, I'll go on a date with you.
See, that's word for word, the last issue. It was sort of a vague.
So there weren't nearly as many words in the last issue. I think that one I would have connected with a little better, too.
It was written by a kid, man.
That's good. No, I think the pictures are really nice.
Aww.
I don't know any of these characters. The shirtless guy is the guy that is in love with her, right?
No.
Nope.
That's Nate Cray. He's cool.
He's cool.
Is he?
I love Nate Cray.
I know.
He's one of my favorite characters.
That's why you're like...
No, that's not why I like him. And that's a cool character trait. I wish I could walk around that way.
I wish you wouldn't.
Well, I don't. So
there you go.
I need to get an X tattoo, and then I need to go to the gym for another week.
Here's. But I felt very conflicted about this comic book. Can I just?
You don't like the devil wearing glasses.
That was going to ask that very question. Why the hell is the devil wearing glasses?
He's dressed like a hipster. He's
trying
to be a hipster.
It's here's the thing. Abner and Lanning,
a hipster
great
like
writers like me. Yeah, Abner and Lanning, great writers. I love the art by David Lopez.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Especially
really
Warlock
wonderful characters.
Is so cool.
His devil is adorable in the glasses. It's really very cute, and the whole story is very cute. There was my comic book brain that was preventing me from completely liking the book because I was reading it and going, this character is not consistent with Mephisto at all. That was my big thing, and
well,
it completely took me out of here.
Well,
that's
many
ridiculous.
It turned you out. Many the devil has many aspects. And this one is the dating devil.
Take many forms.
He has never been like this before. And I'm not saying...
He can't
he's
be
lonely.
A new
this is what I thought about while I was reading
You're
the book.
Wrong, Alex.
I would have... I'm right.
Thank you.
I would have been right. Okay with it if it was some son of the devil or something like that. If it was son of Mephisto, if it was somebody else. But as Mephisto, he has never been like this.
Because he wasn't doing tricks and stuff?
Yeah, like juggling, or you know, being like, pick a card, pick a card.
Yeah,
wow,
that's the Mephisto.
No, he's just
old timey.
Mephisto is an evil fuck. He's a horrible, horrible guy.
I know. I had his Marvel Masterworks trading card said an evil fuck on the back.
He had a 9.
Yeah.
For, yeah. His power rating.
In evil fuckitude. He's a 9. Willity.
I love that those cards used to play music.
Yeah, I know. Man, they were so sought after. You got like 4 to a pack. They were like $2.
Yeah, well, because the guitars took up so much space.
I would like to point out. And
yes, please do.
I mentioned this earlier, but the... They mentioned the Krakatoa. There's an old vaudeville line and maybe a Bugs Bunny line that is the island of Krakatoa east of Java. And not only do they use the joke in here, but they throw the joke away without giving the final part of it.
The devil has due, as you might say?
As in the people who are reading this all know the joke and will get the reference from 1927. I don't understand.
Well, let me tell you. I don't know if they're referencing that, or there's a mutant island called Krakatoa that was a big piece of the X-Men mythology. When they reinvent the X-Men in, like, I forget the year off the top of my head, but like the 70s, early 70s, was it? When they had the whole new team of X-Men when Wolverine came about. Their first mission was the evil island of Krakatoa, which ate a bunch of different X-Men.
All right, come on.
Hey, knowledge is useful, Boothman.
But not entertaining.
Yeah. That said, comic book fans really old. So
all comic book fans are really old.
So it's possible they might get a joke from 1927.
Yeah, I mean, because I've always thought like you guys look maybe 30.
Nah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, I'm the youngest. So.
He's the youngest at 85.
I'm 90.
Yep.
Pete's
220.
Pete, so you guys were out on the road using these lines.
Yeah, we were the Marx Brothers. I don't know if it's a little little known fact.
But your ability to grow facial hair has diminished over time.
Oh, certainly. I'm at the bottom end of my facial hair growth.
Yeah, we're basically skeletons.
Yeah.
Would you say pick up this book?
I love this comic. All the issues, this whole series is very good, and this is just a nice standalone issue. But jump into it.
Pete?
You liked it.
It was funny.
So, yes.
I don't know if it's a pickup, though.
You picked it up and read it and liked it. What's holding you back?
Yeah, I don't know if I would have paid money for it.
Well,
you're a dick.
You know what? I would say don't be a jerky comic book fan like me and pick up this book because this is good comics.
It is good comics. Thank you.
Yes,
it's a
good
great
comics.
Team.
Art's
it's a great,
great
team.
I'll move on to my pick, if that's cool with you guys.
Oh,
my
sure.
pick is going to be Adventure Time #1 from Boom Comics.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Big fan
there
of
you go. Adventure Time. Great. I will say, actually, I've only seen a handful of episodes of Adventure Time, so kind of familiar with it, not totally familiar with it, but enough to know the tone and the pacing of the show. Picking up this comic book, I love this comic book even more than I love the show. I just think Ryan North, who wrote it, nailed the voices of the characters. More than that, the artist nailed the look and also made it intrinsically a comic book, which I think is something... So
hard,
wonderful. They got the pacing. They got the weird pauses that happen in the speech. They build in funny things in the margins. The intro of the characters, if you have no idea what's going on, you can find out right on the first page everything. And there's also a fantastic backup from Aaron Renier, who did a great book called Spiral Bound, that also is a ton of fun. I just thought this book was superb from start to finish and a great all-ages read.
Agreed. I'm a huge fan of Adventure Time. I watch a lot of it, and it is. It's very much in the spirit. Let me tell you a little bit of backstory on Adventure Time. It's made by artists, by the storyboard artists.
Artists?
No. I mean, as opposed to writers. A lot of cartoons, a lot of TV shows. The team of writers write them, and cartoons and artists create the images. This is, it comes from the storyboard guys. It comes from the artists. They have, like, one writer on staff that they, like, ignore. And then the show, that's why the show is so, like, visual and so sort of weird in a good way. And I think this comic, so that maybe makes it an easier translation, but I think this comic does a great job of doing that. I love it.
Pete. Wow, you guys are really fucking making out with this thing all over it.
Pete's emotions go from hate to sexual love with nothing in between.
Nothing in between. I just feel like, you know, hey, it's just like the cartoon, and if you like that, you'll love this.
You're just a cynic. You love Teenage Ninja Turtle comics.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, but that was different from the cartoon. But I just think, like, if you love that, you'll love this. I wasn't a big fan.
I'll tell you what, I don't love the cartoon. I love this.
Ooh.
Bam, theory blown up.
Well,
can I ask a question?
Sure. Yes.
What are we talking about?
Oh, this was a comic on my iPad we didn't give to you.
Oh, okay. So this is still a comic. It's not a TV show.
It's both a comic. They adapted a TV show to a comic.
Sometimes.
It started as a TV show and then became a comic?
Yeah, this past week, Buffy the Vampire Slayer started its 9th season in comic book form.
So what happened was a comet hit the Earth.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
I just want to interrupt just for a second. 6 months ago.
Is it? I thought it was a number one that came out.
Six.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't read it. But it was a big issue because she...
is going to have a
friendship. What?
Oh! An abortion. She's going to have an abortion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I got to tell you, I read that comic book and I thought, oh, okay, cool. She's going to have an abortion. And then apparently that was a big deal in America.
What are you, European?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We're talking about
a lot of stuff.
I picked up a couple of details, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a TV show that like became a comic book, and now that Buffy is having an abortion had one.
Buffy in real life had an abortion.
And Alex,
is Sarah Michelle Gellar?
The fictional character of Buffy the Vampire Slayer became real because there was a comic book, and then decided to have an abortion. This is all true. Back me up, guys.
Yeah, I back Alex to the bone.
That is gross.
Welcome to Alex's fantasy world.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's
enjoy your stay.
So this
it's
person,
get weirder.
This real character,
right,
that exists now in this world,
yes,
had an abortion.
No, I'm lying.
Wow. Wow! Punched right through that paper wall.
Yeah, you got me.
What are we talking about?
Repeat it. I didn't even punch through. All I did was repeat.
No, you got
what he
me.
Said.
I can't hold up. The
I apologize
charade.
For repetition.
It wasn't a particularly good charade.
And it's pronounced charade. I know you're trying to push it.
Guys, according to Jeremy Irons, Sir Jeremy Irons, it is charade. So well done.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. You're always pushing Irons' agenda. I'll say words however I want.
And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Now I hear we may have a question from an audience member. So for that, we're going to bring up Boothman. Oh, yeah, Boothman, what's going on? Okay, give us that question.
Hello.
Which video game series should cross over with the DC Comics characters?
Okay. Kind of like Kingdom Hearts with Disney characters and Final Fantasy characters.
Well, no one gets that reference. I bet I do, but I'm a dork.
Yeah. Video game and
specifically DC.
Pete, what did you say?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter and what?
You want to have Blanca fight
Batman?
Cool.
Why not?
You got that right. You got that right. Why not?
Yeah. Chung Lee versus Black Cat.
I want to see Dig Dug take on
versus
the whole,
Black Cat.
I want to see Dig Dug take on the whole DCU.
Oh, that's
yo,
good.
Yo, you can't stand if the earth is falling out from underneath you. Dig Dug.
That's pretty good. What about I would love to see Q-Bert versus all the fourth world characters. I feel like he would fit in just right.
Yep.
Yeah. The end. Cool. I'm glad we all agree on that. Thank you.
Do you have an answer?
Well, I don't know much about video games.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
You're the ultimate blank slate.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, like, what would be nice? There's that prostitute, that poor woman that gets beat up in the that video game when you steal the cars.
Grand Theft Auto.
The Grand Theft Auto. That woman, like, I feel like it would be really nice if she went with, Superman. Like, Superman could take her out of the streets. You know what I mean?
She went with Superman. Like, dated Superman?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like Lois Lane's always such a bitch. Like give.
Is she a hooker with a heart of gold though?
Well, we don't know. But if anybody can turn her, it's Superman.
Turn her to what?
Well, I mean, right now she's humping for money, and then she like gets the money beat out of her, so she gets nothing except like hurt. So now Superman comes, like swoops in. Takes her away from that, like out to like that castle that he built up north.
Castle?
Fortress of Solitude. And she can just hang out there, maybe cook him stuff.
Well, you have an antiquated understanding of male and female relationships.
I would like to propose a team up.
Okay.
Leisure Suit Larry and Lobo.
Wow.
Lobo.
Pete LePage showing for a second, his I really young thought, pervy, his early pervy.
I thought you were going to say Leisure Suit Larry and that hooker he's been talking about.
They seem like they have a lot in common.
They have a lot to talk about, I think.
I never played Leisure Suit Larry.
Really?
What's the deal with it? Can you explain it?
It's real. I'll tell you what. If you're 10 years old, it's real sexy.
So what's the deal? It's like really poor, like Mac Paint style.
No, it's pixels. Did you ever play King's Quest or anything like that?
Yes. I think so.
King's Quest is great.
Like Sewer Sam?
So very pixely adventure game, singular screens where you're in a room, the room doesn't move, there's no scrolling or anything like that. You got to go around, pick up items, and then every once in a while, your goal is to have sex with women.
Yep.
And some of them give you diseases, but it's always like...
Wait. The crux of the game is put on the STDs?
The crux of the game is to not get STDs and to have sex with a beautiful woman.
Right.
And when you're like 10 or 11 or 12, 13, something like that, and the internet hasn't been invented yet, you're like, yeah.
You're like, I'm going to conquer these crabs and get back to fucking women. Yeah, keep that mic out of your mouth, you perv.
Ow,
and you guys both played this extensively?
Yeah, not together. I played it with my friend Jordan.
Cool. Jordan White, editor of Marvel Comics.
No.
And who'd you play with?
I played with a couple friends.
A couple friends?
Yeah.
So
one guy in the neighborhood had it, and we would all go over to his house and play it.
Oh, man. Had an STD or had Leisure Suit Larry? Oh, cool. Wow, and you guys had friendships. Like, I played soccer and stuff.
Well, you still ended up in the same place.
You're right. You got me.
Thank you very much.
Here's the thing, I've had so many STDs. That's
raise your hand if you ask that. We'll give you some free comments.
All right. Nice. And for
do we have any other questions?
Now, for asking such a great question today, you are going to get a special prize pack in addition to this. So come up and see us afterwards, and we're going to grab your address. You're going to get a prize pack courtesy of the new movie Act of Valor.
Act of Valor?
Are
you a Valor head? Nice.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So in the prize pack, you're going to get an Act of Valor water bottle, an Act of Valor backpack, an Act of Valor t-shirt, and an Act of Valor book. And I imagine you could put everything in the backpack.
Yeah,
and
that
should be pretty cool.
And then you have to become a member of a Black Ops Special Forces unit.
Yeah.
Welcome to Team 6.
Yeah. Actually, a movie does sound kind of cool, just so you know. It features real Navy SEALs in it.
Yeah.
And this is the craziest part. The guy sent me a blurb. He's like, hey, can you mention this on the show? The real Navy SEALs, and they use live ammo for their stunts.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
this
scary.
Movie is
the movie.
Crazy.
That's
apparently,
how Bruce
like
Lee
some
died.
Of the. No, it's not.
Yeah, they use live ammo accidentally.
No, Brandon Lee.
Accidentally?
Brandon Lee died.
Brandon yeah, it's
Lee,
a snuff
film. And they did it. They definitely did it by accident. He was shooting the Crow.
Right.
Yeah.
But accidentally, someone had. Live ammo in there.
No,
but
they didn't have live. I even know this.
It had a little like
it's
shard.
The wad. It's the it's and in fact that shot wasn't even the wad. It was just the concussion because they held it against his head. It was the concussion from the from shooting the fake bullet.
Yeah,
and that killed him.
There's the thing. You can know as much kung fu as you want, but can't fight a fake gun.
What the?
Anyway, Act of Valor is coming out in theaters on February 24th, so check that out. Thanks so much for the prize pack. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do. We like to call it.
Yeah, that's actually what it's called. Big. I'm pretty excited about this. Returning this week on Sunday nights on AMC, The Walking Dead is back.
Oh, all right. All right. I saw a couple episodes of that.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right.
This is right in the wheelhouse. Not the one we're going to talk about, though, right?
By the end of the show, we're going to be talking about the comic book adaptation of Brigadoons. So you should be right there.
That one I could do.
Yes.
Yeah, Pizza Hut's putting it out.
Pizza.
Oh, I thought you just said pizza is putting it out.
I honestly heard Pete's Head, and I was like, that would make sense.
It's a collaboration. Pete's Head is doing the art, and Pizza is doing the writing.
That's my favorite team.
Yeah, great team.
Pizza. Yeah, I love your work.
Yeah,
Pete's Head.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about The Walking Dead. What'd you guys think about this week's episode? We're picking up right for the cliffhanger at the end of the last half of the season. We might spoil some stuff for you, so just hang in there.
So I bet the spoiling has something to do with dead people eating living people.
Whoa. Not really. Not this time.
No. Actually, they killed Sophia, of course. That was the big thing that happened at the end of the season. Rick found Sophia in the barn, shot Sophia in the head, and we're picking up mere seconds after that has happened and following up. They're still at Herschel's farm. What'd you guys think about this week's episode? Yeah,
first, I would like to say I'm so happy because sometimes when you do a cliffhanger and then they do after that, it's a little upsetting because you want to know immediately what happens after that.
Yep.
And I feel like they did such an amazing job of sitting in that moment. There were a lot of cool, quiet shots of just like the shock of what just happened. I think this was really an amazing first episode of the second half of the middle season, whatever the proper term is. But
yeah, whatever the man wants us to call it.
Yeah, but I just feel like this was just really fantastic, really amazing episode, and like Rick finally being a badass like we know from the comic book. I was really excited with that bar scene, the way he lined up the guy behind him using the mirror. I thought that was badass.
I will say that was my favorite thing about the
episode.
I felt like, well, Rick specifically was my favorite thing. This is the episode where Rick on the TV show finally started feeling like Rick from the comics.
Yeah, I agree completely.
It was great.
And it's funny, we were talking about this a little bit backstage. It's a weird, Walking Dead's a weird show. It's the way the plot sort of unfolds is very like, you sort of just pick up with one character who's like sitting in a field and they talk for a second with another character and then you move on. Then it's like someone's burning a body. Another one's picking up an arm, and you just sort of flow through these events without a real narrative structure, it feels like. So it's sort of weird, but the things that are happening are cool, and it's shot beautifully, and the characters are good. Shane seems like he's getting a little nuts.
Wait, a little much. Well, first, let me just say that, like, I agree, but I was really disappointed in Lori in this episode because she was like, hey, you can't just run into danger anytime you feel like it. You have to stay home.
Yes.
And then what does she do? Does some stupid runs right into danger.
And I agree. It didn't make sense.
Her character is ridiculous. Yeah. Her character is so back and forth that it's just a push forward plot, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Can we actually talk about, you were mentioning Shane.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I wanted to say on Shane, like, for this episode, I really realized, like, Shane, this is war for him. There's no rules. There's no whatever it
there
takes.
There are actually rules in war. Yeah.
No, well, you're just talking about Outback Steakhouse. No rules.
Yeah, no rules. Just fun.
That's what this is like.
Bloomin' Onion. Yeah. No, yeah. Like
he's like the Bloomin' Onion of the show.
Yeah.
Like he's really caloric and not.
He had that amazing speech.
Yeah.
That amazing speech where he's like the world's a Bloomin' Onion now. That's my Shane voice. I don't know. That's not particularly good.
Anyways, I was trying to.
No, go ahead.
No, what's your point?
I just felt
you were talking about Outback Steakhouse, I think.
Yeah,
guys, I really like their cheese fries.
Yeah, I mean, well, cheese fries you can get anyway.
Shut the fuck up, Pete,
please. Go ahead.
Pete, please.
Pete.
Take us on a journey. Go ahead.
Let's hear your homage.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
To Shane.
Let's hear your homage.
Could you actually talk about the coda to Sophia dying?
I ran into Hugh Jackman at an Outback Steakhouse.
Can I ask a question? This is
It's his nation.
This show is.
Yo, Pete just Chris rocked. Pete just Chris rocked off the stage.
Pete, come back. No.
He's going to go to Africa.
What were you saying?
Get reset.
Is this my chance?
This Walking Dead was a.
I just want to clarify, this is not Boothman's chance.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's coming back.
Pete.
His resolve is weak.
Pete.
He's my favorite recurring character on this show.
I hate you guys.
Now, seriously, what were you saying about The Walking Dead?
It's not that I won't.
Shane.
I just feel that, like, I finally get Shane a little bit after this episode because he shaved his head. He's very much looking at this like it's war, like it's, feel like whatever, like an army soldier must feel like if he's got to go somewhere, he'll kill anybody to survive. Whatever it will take. So that he can get the job done, regardless how everybody feels about it. And I feel like I finally kind of understand. Because at first I thought, this guy's just a fucked up dude. But now I see, like,
He's just, he doesn't care.
Sort of like the Navy SEALs in Act of Valor hitting theaters on February
24th. Wow.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Enough. Really.
Sell out much?
Yep,
okay. The thing I wanted to say about Shane actually doesn't
keep,
have
for those
any
of you listening, Alex is wearing an Act of Valor backpack. It has been all episodes.
I am. It's the only thing I'm wearing though.
Yeah, it's odd. Oh, odd
yeah,
choice.
It's really a wonderful choice.
Yeah.
Is anybody afraid that Act of Valor is going to get in and out of the theaters before anyone knows that they're there?
Oh, man. That's a good
that
joke.
Was awesome.
Yes, I like that. Thank you. You won the show. You're most valuable player on the show.
I should walk out now, right?
Yeah,
well, eventually we all leave the show by just dropping the mic.
Yeah, I think we still haven't talked about Walking Dead.
Yeah, so you were going to say something
else. Oh, I was going to talk about Dale's psychic moments.
Yeah.
Where, which is crazy to me, his the speech to Laurie where he's like, I don't know, I can't prove it, but I think maybe Shane shot Otis and left him for bait, dead, and then Otis shouted ahead at him and said, wait, wait, come back, and then
no,
Shane
but
looked
did
ahead.
He pretty much tell him
he
that.
Did
no,
sort
he,
of,
he didn't tell
he
him
He did
that.
Sort of allude. He was like, they
but
had a
he
scene.
Described the scene, exactly. He's like, I don't know, I look back at Daly's, and this is what the scene was exactly like, but I
you
don't know.
You could tell he was guilty, though.
You could tell he was guilty. He described it to a T.
Well, Dale's very precious.
Yeah, he puts
oh
things
God,
together.
No,
he's the old wise
Look at that
guy.
Hat. It's like yeah, a satellite a, dish.
Yeah. Well,
he
wasn't wearing the hat in the scene.
So this show is based off of the comic book. Is there a way for yeah. them on the show to get a hold of that comic book to yeah. know what's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah. They're That's, always just yeah. flipping ahead.
Yeah, and they're like, well, nothing to be done.
Just let it happen.
Yeah, apparently we're supposed to wait in this field right here.
Here's the thing. They love spoilers. Because it's their lives.
Yeah. There's one guy.
No. 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 What Can if you had spoilers on your life?
I'll mention my other favorite ridiculous thing was that last scene, which otherwise great, with the two guys in the bar walk in, slow, careful speech where Rick ends up totally just
I knew
shooting.
They were bad once they said they were from Philadelphia.
Well, that is the
Born
thing.
And raised.
They were the short of holding Philadelphia cheesesteaks in their hand yeah. and being like, hey, we got chill the Liberty Bell in our truck. They were the most Philadelphia people ever.
That's the spinoff I want, is those guys driving the Liberty Bell to freedom. Guys. What's that?
What?
They were up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood.
Wow, this is the sneakiest rendition of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme
Don't
song.
Don't let anybody know.
You move them with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
I whistled for a cab when the zombie apocalypse started. And then I had to go and get shot by this dude.
That doesn't rhyme.
I know. It's the apocalypse. Who's got time to rhyme?
The fresh brains.
Anyway, I think we're all in agreeance, though, that the agreeance.
Let it ride.
That the this was a great episode.
I was okay with this episode. 50% of it I liked. You. Really liked a lot of stuff. Loved Rick. Loved that last scene.
That should have been enough for you.
The shot of Andrea picking up that arm from the truck.
Yeah. Such a weird scene.
Oh, but it's so great.
I thought something was going to bite someone and then.
No, it's so good. What a hayride.
Cool. I'm sure I'm really going to enjoy this at some point.
The thing yeah. with this show, I think it's so successful because they do, the tension is in every scene. It's a very tense show, all top to bottom.
Yeah. All right. Well, Walking Dead, definitely check that out. A lot of people did, actually.
Yeah.
That was last night. Sunday's episode was the highest rated basic cable show of all time. That was bigger than the second season premiere. I don't know how that happened. That's crazy to me. But good for them.
People are jonesing for it.
Yes, apparently they want to see Walking Dead. So hooray. I hope they're reading the comics, too. Next thing, comic thing. I think I'm probably going to be the only person here that cares about, but I am super psyched for this. IDW announced that they're going to have a Doctor Who, Star Trek, The Next Generation crossover comic called Assimilation Square that brings together the Cybermen and the Borg, you guys.
Oh, here's the thing.
Wow.
I love Next Generation.
Yes.
But I don't know anything about Doctor Who.
Well, I'm sure you're going to really get into it with the comic book.
You think? Should I buy it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you like Next Generation?
Yeah, I love Next Generation.
What? You can't even say it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a TV show, right? Huh?
Then Star Trek The Next Generation?
No, I love Next Generation.
Okay.
Great show.
Favorite
love
episode?
Doctor Who.
Favorite episode?
Favorite episode of Next Generation?
Yeah, there's only one right answer.
All Good Things?
No, that's definitely the wrong
What's
answer.
What's the good
that's
one, then?
The Inner Light.
The Inner Light?
The one where a probe shows up and it zaps Picard, then he lives a whole life in from this culture that died hundreds of years
ago.
That
is a really good episode.
It's a fucking great episode. It's the best episode.
All right. I don't know the names of the episodes.
Yeah, we know.
But my favorite episode of The Next Generation was when it's Data, right?
Yeah. Oh, God. What are you doing?
When Data goes into that machine that like sends you to another world. You know what I'm saying?
That's how they vacation the machine?
Huh?
Oh, my God.
No, not the transporter, but like you go this, in.
They beamed him down.
No, you don't beam down, you stay on the ship.
He's talking about the holodeck, and you're physically hurting me right now.
The vacation machine, that's hilarious.
Oh, geez.
That's the Cabin in the Woods,
Let
the new movie coming out.
Let him finish.
But no, but like he goes and he like goes
Captain,
to like.
Captain, I believe the vacation machine is broken.
Shut up and let him finish.
Captain, the vacation machine is on the fritz. We're all on vacation.
Yeah, but it was. It was on the fritz. Something happened because they went to, I feel like, Britain.
It was like a Sherlock Holmes episode.
Yeah.
Moriarty
escapes.
Gained intelligence.
Yeah.
From the holodeck.
Yeah, and yeah, I liked that episode. That's my favorite.
Not much of a vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I got to go throw up.
Yep.
I think.
All right, see you later.
Yeah,
there's
thanks.
One where the captain became a Borg, too.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, how Boom. Do you know? Wait, I'm sorry. How do you know the word Borg?
you know,
think
I only remembered the word Borg because you just said it. But I remembered vividly Jean-Luc becoming a Borg.
Locutus.
And everyone being upset about it.
Yeah, Locutus of Borg. Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that except for
Jerk.
Pete.
Yeah, let's move on.
Cool. All right. Last thing we're going to talk about. This is kind of exciting. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be pretty excited about this, mm-hmm. I hope. There's a comic book called Beyond the Fringe that DC has been publishing. This sort of takes a different look at episodes on Fringe. Becky Cloonan and Joan Vasquez are collaborating on two issues of the comic, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I'm a huge Fringe fan.
Are you?
Yeah. The TV show The Fringe?
Yeah, the TV show Fringe.
Why are you so surprised?
No. We've never talked about it.
Oh, yeah, we've never talked about it.
That's the one with the kid from Dawson's Creek, right?
Yeah, Pacey.
Yes. Yeah, it's basically him grown up.
Yeah. Well, it's him, and he learns to play hockey, and they're like, go score with the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, Becky Cloonan, great. Joan Vasquez, great. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with this comic.
Yeah.
It's three of my favorite things together, so that's pretty exciting. That's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Yay!
Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank God he came back.
Where we give back to you, the lovely audience, it's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like to win $25 free? Yes, you, sir. Come on up. Yeah.
Please put your hand down, dude.
What is your name?
Vinny.
Vinny? Audience? Audience Vinny.
Yeah.
Nice.
Woohoo!
All right. Today's trivia is inspired by Valentine's Day.
Oh, nice.
There's the $25 gift card that you will win. By the way, thank you for wearing a tux today. It's very, very sharp of you.
Just to be clear, tuxedo shirt, T-shirt.
Well, it still counts.
Way
it's classy.
Way to go, Justin. Way to go.
Huh? I just want to create the paint a picture.
Yeah, you just
want to
ruin things. I know.
All right. So, today's trivia is on B-Day couples. How this is going to work is you're going to listen to a question, listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, gift card yours.
Sweet.
Here we go. Thank you, Boothman. Which is not a comic book couple? Is it A, Apollo and Midnighter, B, Cyclops and Emma Frost, or C, Hulk and Janet Reno?
Great question.
Which one do you think it is? A, B, or would you pick C?
I believe it's C.
C is correct!
Nailed it!
I like the little flute music.
Janet Reno, for anyone born after 1983, was a Surgeon General for
sure.
Got in trouble in the Clinton presidency.
All right, thank you for that knowledge.
Promoting masturbation.
Which couple should never break up? Is it A, Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson, B, Lois and Clark, or C, Sonny and Cher? Who should never break up? I'll let you go with A or B, whichever one you really think.
Or C? What the fuck?
I hate to break it to you.
I'll definitely go with A.
A is correct.
Nice.
A is correct.
Yes, A is correct.
What do you, what? What?
They should never break up. It's ridiculous that it happened.
Don't they break up all the time?
No.
I feel like they break up all the time.
No, they don't.
I feel like that's a reoccurring thing.
It should never happen.
All the time.
It should never happen.
Right, I don't know comic books, and I know that they break up all the time.
Bring it on.
Last one. Here we go. Which couple best represents true love?
A little bit subjective here.
Yeah. Is it A, Green Arrow and Black Canary? B, Storm and Black Panther? Or C, Garfield and Lasagna?
Or D, Pete and Justin?
Thank you, Boozman, for finishing the question.
Not an option.
I think that's an option.
Pete, don't do this. Not here. Not on Valentine's Day.
True Jedi love.
Which do you think represents true love?
You may say D.
You may say A, B, or C.
Or D.
Or
whichever
D.
you think.
If you think D, you should say that.
I'll definitely go with A.
Yeah! Oh, wow. All right. Nice job. Congratulations. $25 free.
Oh, boy. There
Enjoy.
You go.
Nice.
Thanks so much. Congratulations. Pete, I can't believe with the amount of Valentine's Day stuff that actually exists in comic books, you needed to make up some questions.
Yeah,
that were so subjective.
Yeah, like there's this great romance between the devil and one of the X-Men.
Yeah,
like I feel like you could have discussed that.
You could have discussed
that. For example.
And I mean, Garfield doesn't love lasagna. He's addicted to it.
No, he loves lasagna.
I think it's a problem.
He said it more than once.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Hellblazer. It's fantastic. Peter Milligan, amazing writer.
Nice. Say no more.
Cool.
As per usual. I'm looking forward to Catwoman. This comic.
What?
Part of the New 52.
What?
Oh, sorry.
excuse me.
I've been really liking it. The art is very good, and it's a great, very action-packed. Yeah,
really?
it's a great storyline.
Really?
I got into trouble in the first couple issues with being like too sexually explicit, but if you like that stuff, then keep reading.
There you go. My pick is the opposite of that, which is Snarked, number 5 from Boom Comics by Roger Langridge. This is his riff on various Lewis Carroll stuff from Wonderland.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's great sort of vaudevillian humor, but done really well. There's some really great emotion. It's about the walrus and the carpenter trying to save a young Red Queen and help her find her father.
Oh,
it's big
Snarked
adventure stuff. Really fun, really funny, great classic all-ages comic.
A bunch of mock turtles being dicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, I am looking forward to Super Dinosaur number 8 coming out.
Nice.
Mainly because I was just in Prague and met this Czech woman who went by the name Dino because she was really tall. So all of her friends called her Dino like a dinosaur.
So I don't know if she's in this comic.
Yeah,
she might be.
That's the moot point. I am going with this one, Super Dinosaur number 8. I'm so excited about it.
I like the way you make life choices.
And plug some stuff. What should people check out from you?
I will be at the Free Synagogue of Flushing for the next 2 Friday nights.
Our podcast is big in Flushing.
Well, please come on out. I believe it is free, as it is the Free Synagogue of Flushing.
Free Synagogue. Yep.
That's a first word in their name. I will be singing behind. What amounts to a great. It is bulletproof glass. They protect all the singers.
Are you
out there.
Hated? Are you much hated?
No, it's like Little Chinatown out there, and they do not like singers.
Wow, that's
intense.
No, it's serious.
Well, definitely check that out. Guys, a couple of things before we go. You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com. Also, we're on nerdist.com, so you can check us out there. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, a friend us on Facebook, so you get to hear about all the amazing guests that we have on the show.
Yeah, next week we're going to have comedian Will Nunziata is going to be back on the show.
Yeah.
And he's
nice.
Always great, so excited to have him here. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Dewey for being on the show.
Yay!
Hey, that's me.
Boothman! But most of all, I want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York City at the People's Improv Theater. Please tell your friends good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.